All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. 29th of June, 2023. It's the Crass Files podcast with Adam here in Sydney, Australia. Hope everyone out there is doing fine when they get this podcast to download and listen to. In good company tonight, that is for sure. Author and researcher John Hamer is back on the podcast with me, and it's always great to have John on with me in real independent podcasting and media here. John is, of course, over in the UK and always very busy doing a lot of different things. And as our listeners know, we've been speaking to John over the years so much on this podcast and breaking down all these great work and books. And also Shannon Rowan talking about her latest book, John, Shots Fired. She's been doing the rounds and talking to great independent media here in Australia, and it's a fantastic. You can tell that she's just so proud of getting that 800 book and citations book out. I mean, 800 page book. You just can't believe it. I mean, but it I'm sort of just starting through it now. She sent me the digital sort of copy there online, and she's been talking to the guys here in Oz and all around the place and doing that and promoting her book. So a big effort. And I spoke to her not too long ago and said that I would be catching up with you again soon too, John Hamer. And unbelievable times. We'll talk about that a little bit on the podcast, what Shannon has done there. I think it's really incredible, and what you're up to, John, and what's next for you. And, of course, as I said, we've been discussing John's books for how long now? I mean, just promoting them and talking about them and putting up and getting the word out. I'm going to talk a bit about censorship tonight as well, with what's going on in Australia, how desperate the system now is to really just silence us. It's really unbelievable. So folks like John who write these books and get them out, it's just it's fantastic. And we love to support the authors that we chat to here on the Crass Files. Please get on my website, crassfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. We've had a bit of a change there recently, sort of a new website going up, and it's all going smoothly now. It should be loading faster for people as well, which is a great change. And so everything is in its place, and I've been posting a lot of articles up there. And the chat room is back up again. So just on the top bar there where you see categories and stuff, click on the chat and it'll open up a box and log in there. Just join the conversation, log in with Twitter or Facebook. If you don't have that, just do it as a guest user and leave links and information for the public to see. And if you don't want to, just have a look at all the incredible info going up in there. It is an information war, and there's a lot going up there. So get on the website, get into Telegram for the Crass Files chat, and we're on BitChute and all those channels, but it's all attached to the website now, which is fantastic. Been going since 2015. Doing this project, podcasting back in 2013, but doing the Crass Files since 2015, and we're still here. They can't shut us up. We're still a pain in the ass and a thorn in the side, and John's still here. I'm still here, and we're still going. And it's kind of really cool to be doing that, I think. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen a few years ago. You know, 20, 21, 22 was so weird. And you know, there was a lot going on, all built around fear and propaganda and control. But being here and still chatting away is absolutely fantastic, and talking about all the books and having chats is absolutely wonderful. We here in alternative media, just like John, who writes books and has to sell them, we need some kind of support from the public. So I do have a members, and that has now moved over to Buy Me a Coffee platform. So the members is over there. You'll see the banners on the website, and click on those and go over there. I do the Night Watch podcast every night that I'm not on with guests, breaking down all sorts of stuff for the members, and you get those emailed to you. So it's a nice platform. It's working okay, and it's the best option for us at this time. Thanks to all the guys out there, all the people sending emails and following us through the years. It's been absolutely an amazing ride. In a way, it's sometimes sad and a shame that we have to discuss some of the things that we do. We should be out all just enjoying our lives with our toes in the water and enjoying the sunshine, having a cocktail, John, and living it up. But instead, we're kind of fighting all the time, and we're battling away with everything that we do. So amazing times, but This is where we are, John. Good to have you on the podcast with me again tonight. Same day for you in the UK. And you were busy in the months going back. And I know that was because of your move and everything, but how's everything now? All settled?
Yeah, much more settled now, Adam. Yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of trying to get into a bit more of a routine, but certainly the last few months have been a bit hectic, shall we say. And I've not been able to keep up to stuff as much as I have done in the past, but that's a change from now on. And, you know, getting back on online again, you know, as well as the move, I've been having one or two other personal issues, which I won't bore people with. But, yeah, everything's back on track now. All good, all happy. So, yeah. Yeah, we're all set.
John's got internet problems where his internet is dropping out and things there. And I've got some problems on my computer tonight with everything. So I'm on the phone, but which is a good backup to have a headset and the phone, and usually works perfectly. But I do prefer the desktop because I had a bunch of things saved that I wanted to ask John about and go over. But that's all right. We just punch forward and do what we can here to keep moving forward. But with the changes on the website, John, and a lot of things, I've noticed a lot of traffic on the Kras Files website lately. A lot of people emailing about things. So the podcast going out to a lot more podcasting platforms. Every day it grows. And we're all growing in our own way, doing this kind of media. Everyone's doing their bit. You're writing books and doing this with me, and I'm doing this, and we've got websites and things. And there's people doing all sorts of things. But just like the Canberra protests or rally that I was talking about the other night, John, we all came together, and it was a million people or more, and everybody came together, and it was like the one thing. And but everyone was there for their own different reasons. But when we all were there together, it was an amazing thing, just like in London and all the protests. Everyone was there as a whole, and it was just awesome. You couldn't turn around without having a chat with someone like you or me. Everyone was on deck and on board. They understand what's going on. They can see the threat, and it was really cool. I guess that's why they attacked us with microwave weapons. But, you know, that's what's wonderful about doing this. And just getting it out there. So, I'll just get you to, and I'll just say this as well for folks out there who may be new to the podcast or just tuning in. Get on the Kras Files website and just search John Hamer, H-A-M-E-R, John Hamer, and you'll see all our podcasts up there as well. And I'll put all John's links and everything in the podcast description, because John's got a great channel over on BitChute and everything. But all the podcasts we've done are all up on the website through the years, and you can go back and listen to them all. They're all there, and please enjoy. But John, the latest book, we talked about it, Welcome to the Masquerade. It seems to be, I think, you're most successful, or is that not true at this moment? How has it gone since we last spoke? Because the falsification of science was such a, I don't know, it's like a magnus opus. It was such a huge book, just like Shannon's book. She's done this book to encapsulate everything we've all gone through. She's documented in this book everything that has happened to humanity in the last few years. And I said to Shannon, in the years, in maybe in the future, scholars and people will be looking at these books, trying to figure out what happened in 20 and 2021 on planet Earth. And what were they doing wearing the surgical masks and lockdown? Who did this and what was it all about? Possibly. Yeah. And they can... Yeah. You know, to put that all in her book has been wonderful, but your falsification of science came out at a time when it was just so important. But the latest book, and you got more coming, I know, but has that ended up being, you said it was just going so extraordinarily well. How is it going? How is it going?
Yeah, still. I mean, still in the top three. It fluctuates quite a bit. You know, sometimes... Some months, Masquerade is the top seller for me. Well, for me and Shannon, should I say that, because obviously that's a joint effort. But other times it fluctuates. Sometimes it's falsification of science. Sometimes it's falsification of history. I mean, overall, falsification of history is the number one because it's been outmatched. You know, but month by month, if you look at it month by month, then those three always vie for the top position out of my eight books. But yeah, it's, you know, so I'm really pleased with the way sales are going this month. It just so happens that Masquerade is right up there. It's top of the tree again. But, you know, next month that could change. But yeah, sales are pretty good. Pretty good. And I'm really pleased because obviously that's what I live off. And, you know, that's my income source. And I do all right. I do okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Give us some quick bullet points and a quick, you know, like just a general breakdown of what people can expect from the book for new listeners, John, who are plugging into here. I always look out for them because there's a lot of different people at a lot of different places who are coming on board with all sorts of alternative media now as the mainstream corporate media die off. And they become desperate and thrash around in the water trying to save themselves, and they're just not relevant anymore. So a lot of people are wanting books. They're coming over. They're asking questions. They're getting on board. They might be new to this. And tell us about the book for all those new listeners and what they can expect.
Which book are you talking about? Are you talking about Falsification of Science? Or
The new book, Welcome to the Masquerade.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's just a complete dissection of what happened between 2020 and 2022. In other words, the COVID pandemic, you know, the fake pandemic, and it just covers everything from, you know, the psychological tools that they used, you know, the predictive programming that was used, all the events surrounding it, you know, all the events leading up to it, such as Event 201 and the Wuhan Games. You know, we talk about the personalities involved, especially a certain Mr. Gates. How, you know, the mind control that went on and the social engineering that was going on and the involvement of 5G, for example. We talk about, you know, the health system in general and about viruses in particular, you know, about how viruses don't really exist and explain why and how that came about. And of course, you know, the big one, we talk about the vaccination element to it and what the agenda behind all that was. We talk a little bit about the depopulation agenda and something which most people have heard of called the Great Reset, which is what the pandemic was all about, really, at the end of the day. And, you know, that's kind of replete with references and resources so that people can check all this information for themselves. You know, they don't have to take our word for it. So, yeah, it was just in a nutshell, it was just a general, total, comprehensive overview of what was really going on and not what these entities were telling us was going on.
That's right. And I think looking at the book, some important aspects of this is transhumanism. And AI technology, which we're seeing, it's not a slow creep anymore. Yes. It's very obvious now and in our faces. Yes. So the technology side of things and the AI and singularity, transhumanism, this is a hard one for people to get their heads around. Like, how can they do this? But it's really slow building, isn't it? And this is in your book.
Absolutely.
As well, how you don't even know it's really happening.
These people are not stupid. You know, they're very clever. They know which buttons to push and, you know, which levers to pull in the human psyche. And, you know, transhumanism, that's going to be the topic of my next book. And that this is about how the agenda, where the agenda is going. This is their ultimate goal. Okay, transhumanism. And for those who are not aware what transhumanism means, it's the merging of man with machine. And we know that there are patents out there. I know I've probably said this on other shows, Adam, but I'll repeat it again for anyone who's not heard me say it before. There are patents out there on the internet. So it's not me making this up. You know, this is real. Patents out there for the remote control of the human body, which has been facilitated by the vaccines during the COVID nonsense, and also patents out there for the remote control of the human mind so that they can add memories, add false memories, delete memories, you know. So the technology is already there to facilitate transhumanism. And as you said, it's just going very, very slowly, because this is how they do it. They call it baby steps. They do it. And it's the old analogy about the boiling pot and the frog, you know, where if you throw a frog into a pot of boiling water, it'd immediately jump out and escape. But if you put it in a pot with, you know, warm water in, it will stay there, and you heat it up by 1 degree every so often, and it doesn't notice that the temperature is getting too hot for it until it's too late, and then it's finished. And that is exactly the way that these people work. They do everything in baby steps so that we don't notice the creeping agenda. So yeah, transhumanism is very important to them. If they do manage to actually achieve that, then the human race as we know it is finished. So it's extremely important that people become aware of that particular agenda. And, you know, we know from past experiences that public opinion is very, very important. And if public opinion can be retuned to understand that transhumanism is a bad thing, because there's no doubt they will dress it up as a good thing. If we can get people on board with understanding that it is a really bad thing, then we can stop them from doing this. Because, like I say, this is their end game, if you like. Once they've done that, they have ultimate control over us. So, you know, this has got to be stopped.
That's right. I think something that, well, I know something that goes hand in hand with the transhumanism agenda is what I call the body choppers, the body chopping agenda. The trans agenda is very, yeah. Since really in the United States, when Trump went out and Biden came in, we really saw this very strongly come through. And it's got to the point now where it's become totally overwhelming. And I think most people, including parents, are overwhelmed with this, with the whole LGBTQ plus P agenda, and the drag queens stripping off in front of kids, reading stories to kids. I call them the Cenobites, John, on many of the podcasts out of Clive Barker's Hellraiser novel. The people muck around with that box, and the Cenobites come out of the box, and it's all about pleasure and pain. Yes. It really reminds me of that. And these freaks are just going all through our schools now and libraries. It's really shattered people. I think people were ready for this, and it's happened so fast. To the point in Australia where in Victoria, so many of these drag shows and drag story times have been cancelled because of community pushback. So yeah, dictator absolutely. Daniel Andrews brings them personally into Parliament. And you're just thinking, here's the Premier of Victoria standing side by side with these men dressed as women in the Victorian Parliament reading these perverted books to children. And you're thinking, wow, man, we are really in crazy times.
Absolutely.
And they're really going for it now. And we're seeing it all over the world, but we're also seeing tremendous pushback, especially in the US. But here we've managed to get many, many shows cancelled to the point where the councils are now trying to do it in secret. And it's just amazing that they're after kids, after children so desperately to pervert their minds. And unbelievable at the moment. But it's really in your face now, John.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what people need to understand is that these people are satanic entities. You know, everything is inverted in Satanism, you know, for those who are not aware. You know, good is evil and evil is good. And they just do anything they can to introduce evil and perversion and all the negative traits of humanity into society. And this is exactly what they're doing. And, you know, they're trying to break down society so that they can rebuild it in their own mold. And their own mold is basically, pure evil. These people are absolutely depraved. Just as an aside, actually, my partner Karen and I, we went to the pop band Muse. You may have heard of them. M-U-S-E. Yeah, we went to one of their concerts about 100 miles from here last week, and it was in a massive football stadium of about 45,000 people there, and we were, you know, quite disgusted really because of all the satanic imagery that was going on. You know, at one point, you know, they had massive screens on the stage, and they had these devil figures, and they were actually devil worshipping on stage. You know, there were some of the words to the song, and you know, Karen and I had never heard this particular song before, but it was like, you know, all the crowd were chanting "Yes, sir," to the devil's image. So in effect, you know, they were inducing devil worshipping, and this is what's going on. It's pervading the whole of society. I mean, we actually came out before the end because, you know, this was something we'd had booked for over a year, believe it or not. And, you know, we were just, you know, really appalled, and we came out early because of it. And it was just sickening to see. But what the worst aspect of it was, not the fact that the pop band was doing that, but the fact that the crowd was joining in, you know, like mindless sheep, and just repeating these words on the screen, you know, which were paying homage to Satan. And this is what's happening to society, and it's all by design. It's not by accident.
That's right. We're obviously seeing that absolutely everywhere. Yeah. There was something we were talking about. I don't have it in front of me, but there's some Devil or Diablo game, and there's something to do with some tour or something with tattoos they're doing in Australia, and they've got these billboards all around the cities, and as you're going on the highways to the cities, they're huge billboards with these devil on there. It's on the side of buses. I mean, it's and all this kind of content, we're seeing it stronger than ever, everywhere. Yes. That you really look. And yeah, well, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? I talk a lot about this on my Nightwatch podcast, that really, with the entertainment industry and the sporting industry, especially the pop and music culture industry, movie, Hollywood industry, even if it's smaller, I think that anyone who enters that industry and starts to make, you know, any amount of money really gets captured by that satanic inverted Freemason system. And that's just done through the money that they receive. And then, you know, it's just happened so much. So I think it's really impossible to be one of these bigger pop bands and not partake in that kind of devil worshipping practice. I would recommend a site for people who are interested in this called The Vigilant Citizen. And if you go on there, yeah, he breaks down all of this stuff, you know, Beyonce and Madonna and all the tours they're doing. I think there's a Beyonce or one of those tours, John's, where they're actually got these stage sets going on where, you know, she starts off as a woman naked, and then it kind of transcends into this machine, and then they go into the vagina, and it's all a machine, and they give birth to AI and everything, you know. So this is what we see.
You may have heard my good lady here just gasp when you said that, but it's just absolutely. I wasn't aware of that, mate, but it doesn't surprise me in the least, knowing what's going on. It's just absolutely. Yeah, these people are evil personified, I'll tell you, and they're trying to pervert the entire world. Because, you know, that's their creed, that's their belief, that's their religion, if you like.
It's absolutely everywhere. I was just checking that, John, just to make sure that I was, and I was right. It's on The Vigilant Citizen. It's the intense symbolism in Beyoncé's Renaissance world tour. So she's doing a world tour. And people will be very blown away to have a look at this. And these are probably the biggest pop shows in the world. I mean, they're gigantic.
Yeah, yeah.
But the symbolism in these shows are really quite incredible when you have a look. And you have a look at these types of articles. But it looks to me, when I look at this and I see what they're doing, it's like a birthing of technology or AI through these brainwashed pop stars like Beyonce, and through their songs and everything. As it says, you know, they started off R&B and quite sort of soul music and good, but you look where it's gone now. So, you know, it's that kind of thing where they sucker the public in, they get everybody in buying this music, and then it turns into something very ugly at a later date. But you have a show here that is clearly, mean, there's a scene there with the legs of Beyonce, which is a robot, are spread open, and there's a tunnel going through her vagina. And then they go through, and there's another Beyonce on the other side, a robotic version of the human one that they started off the show with. So they're telling you now, I think, with these big concerts, and these are some of the biggest, they're really with the symbolism like you're talking about there. And a lot of people have told me this, John. I have friends who went to the movies with their kids just to see some kids' things, and they just couldn't believe the symbolism.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, satanic symbolism and extreme sort of sexuality in the way they word things and stuff. We're seeing that now as well. And you're like, I got to get the kid and run out of here. But, you know, there's nowhere to go with really entertainment as I see it anymore. It's all very dark. Disturbing at this moment in history. So I would say, you know, kind of stay clear of it.
But it's creeping into, you know, education as well, unfortunately. You know, the schools are perverting our children nowadays. I'm just so glad that my kids are all grown up now. What's happening in schools now is absolutely appalling. They're all being subjected to what you were saying before about, these transvestite kind of people, you know, these trannies who are, you know, and they're just normalizing it for kids, and it's so wrong, you know. And you get things like Pride Month, and, you know, I've got nothing against people who choose to be homosexual for whatever reason, whether that's, you know, inherent or whether that's the lifestyle that they choose, which seems to be happening these days. That's up to them. But what I do object to is it being thrust in our faces, and particularly in the faces of children as well, normalizing it. It's just absolutely appalling. And I know that's probably a very controversial opinion to some people, but, you know, nevertheless, it's my opinion, and I stand by it.
That's right. I think the reason we bring this up and I've been talking about it so much is just because it's so intense, and I think a lot of people are being shocked. We've got pretty thick skin, so we were ready for this, and I knew it was coming. To see how intense it is quite shocking, to be honest. I think a lot of people are quite gobsmacked. And the drag queen things that are going on in the US, where they're chanting, "We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children." That was one I was going to play it tonight if I was on my desktop. That's gone all around the world. There's a young guy who's in Australia, Joel Jamel. He's kind of a citizen journalist, and he's got a big Telegram page, and he does some good work. And he's got a video. I was going to play it tonight. I can't now. But he went to the Pride display at the New South Wales State Library. This is the State Library of New South Wales, and he's done a video. And he got some of the books out, which are all these books you were mentioning and all this perversion and stuff. But they've actually got a display inside the library. And he walks in there with the camera and goes around and around. He goes in there, and you just can't believe it, John. You can't believe it. They've got graphic images, black and white images up on the walls with men giving each other blowjobs, putting condoms on each other's dicks. There's a man spreading his ass cheeks, showing his anus. I mean, there's. I'll send you this when we get off tonight, John, so you can just see it to believe it. You won't even believe it. This is in the library, like in the state library, and he's out the front. I mean, he's just gobsmacked as to how to explain this. I mean, they got their penises out. They're touching each other's penises, all of this.
Yeah, oh, I can believe it, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and so this has really got ugly. I mean, yeah, they are not hiding. They're not hiding this anymore. It really has become extreme in Australia now. As a country, we're just not ready.
But I mean, I think it'll be the downfall, actually. I think they are pushing the agenda too strongly now. And, you know, it's waking people up. It is waking people up because people are starting to question this. And, you know, not everyone, but a good percentage of the population is now kind of saying, you know, there's something not right here. What's going on? And then, you know, that leads to them looking into things and, you know, tuning into shows like yours, Adam, and reading books like mine. And, you know, it's in one sense, you could actually say it's a good thing, because I know it sounds a bit inverted in itself and upside down, but at least, you know, it's actually making people, certain people, stop and think and realize that these people are, you know, they need to be stopped. You know, there is a lot of waking up going on, which has to be a good thing, obviously.
That's right. And this is the strange thing about the whole COVID scam. And it is a scam, John, as you know. There never was any COVID-19 virus. Viruses, as we are told, do not exist, as in, you know, AIDS and, you know, HIV/AIDS and all of this, polio and everything. We've done a lot of podcasts on this. But with this whole COVID thing that's happened in the last few years, I mean, it's just forced, I think, people to come on board. I think it's forced a mass awakening. Isn't it strange? It's almost like the system wants us to wake up, or it's like egging us to wake up. And a lot of people are telling me things lately that we've been talking about on this podcast for years, you know, like how the Freemason type system, it needs to tell humanity what it's going to do to them.
Yes.
And so, you know, it does that through massive amounts of entertainment and propaganda.
Yes.
And then in that way, we watch it, we consume this propaganda and news and movies and everything that we're discussing tonight. And if we don't say anything, we're actually kind of contracting with the system. So we discuss that a lot.
Exactly.
So they tell us what's coming in their movies and science fiction movies and their horror movies and everything they do, but they mix it up with entertainment. So we go out of the theater thinking it's just entertainment, but what they're doing and what's coming in the future has been planted in our subconscious mind. But by us not saying anything, we're contracting and we're accepting, we're doing a deal with this devil type system. And so that's the way that they've always done it. Freemasons have to tell us what they're doing. And I think a lot of people are having these discussions about this now, and they can see it. But what's happened now, I think, is that because they're becoming so extreme, they're starting to force the issue. And I think that it's just making a lot of people more suspicious. Unfortunately, a lot of people did get the jabs and they did play into the whole COVID thing and the lockdowns and everything, but I think they're just pissed off now, you know, and they don't want it anymore. They're not buying it anymore. It's really interesting times, because in a way the system itself has forced this sort of this fight or standoff. It's like it was bored with toying with us, with humanity, because we just weren't getting it. And now it's like, let's really stoke the fire, you know? And now I think people are, but maybe they're going to lose control here. You know, I don't know what the outcome's going to be here. I don't know. It's such a fight, John, because I look at France and these countries, they've been battling the government since about 2020, and these tyrants are still in control. It's like, do we have to see France burned to the ground before something's done here? And I think that we're going to start seeing this civil unrest if something's not changed, because they're really things are getting really demented now, as the system becomes more desperate, as more people wake up.
Exactly. But the phenomenon that you were talking about before was, it's called revelation of the method, and that is the fact that they have to tell us what they're doing, because these people, whether we believe it or not, they believe in karma, in absolute karma, and they believe that their, you know, their karma cannot be neutralized, if you like, unless they actually tell us what they're doing, because they believe that if they show us in subtle ways exactly what's going on, then that relieves them from any negative karma. And as you say, it also has the effect of, you know, getting our cooperation, if you like, because we're not pushing back. And yeah, this is a well-known phenomenon, that this is, you know, their working methodology, if you like. They have to show us what's really going on in subtle ways, and sometimes in not so subtle ways. And if we don't push back, that is taken as acceptance that what they're doing is okay.
That's right, John. And one of the things, talking points that we've been discussing on the podcast lately is the WHO pandemic treaties stuff. Yeah. Which they want to bring through, and that kind of particular system we're already all signed up to. That's the thing. Yes. There's a kind of cooling off period, I think, till November this year or something. And if no one says anything, they're going to ratify it,
right?
Because we're already signed up to it. So we only have a short amount of time to stop this. And I want people to look at Melbourne, Australia, at what happened there, because that was a drill. That was a drill for what's coming. And when that WHO treaty gets ratified, when they yes. call their next pandemics, we lose our rights. They bring in their own police forces. Our government has no say. And this is going to get very extreme. And I think that this is their next big move. This is their next big move. I know the Australian Prime Minister, he has been put in to get this through. We're trying our best to get the word out to the people. And I know in the UK, there's a lot of government ministers and people who are saying, hey, we can't cede over our health, you know, our bodily autonomy, our rights, our rights to our own bodies to a foreign entity that can just call the shots. So when Bill Gates and his buddies and Klaus Schwab want to call one of their pandemics, or it could be anything, because if you look at the framework of it, it's very deep. That means they come in and take over. Is this something you've looked at a little bit as to what's happening in the UK? Because it doesn't seem to be too popular there, but there's obviously these forces within each of our countries, especially the Five Eyes nations, that just want to push this through and get it done by next year.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the fact that the WHO is in effect becoming the de facto world government, which is what they wanted all along. Yeah, and you know, they are actually making. You can't really call it legislation, but they're just making pronouncements, edicts, that they have somehow become the, you know, the go-to body for anything health related, you know, overriding governments, overriding national health services or whatever form that may take, and giving themselves the power. And this is Mr. Schwab, of course, who's behind it all, and all his cronies, giving themselves the power through placement of placemen, such as you say, the Aussie Prime Minister, and I'm sure it's the same in the UK, who are on board with this. And then basically it's like a coup, it's like a world coup in effect, and they're taking over control of the world from governments. And of course, this is the stepping stone to the new world order that, you know, we've heard being talked about for so many years. You know, I mean, it's been in the pipeline for a long, long, long time. And this is one of the ultimate goals, you know, one world government. And this is how they're actually doing it, because they're going to, as you've said before, there's going to be more pandemics in the pipeline. And then as soon as that happens, they've given themselves the power to take over. And so they'll be able to do basically whatever they want. And there's no democracy involved in any way, shape or form. I mean, not that democracy is is real anyway. It's just an illusion, you know. All the different political parties and their pretend opposition to each other is just theatre. So democracy doesn't really exist anyway. But what's going to happen is there'll be no more even pretense of democracy. These people are, you know, it will be a dictatorial situation where they just impose whatever legislation, whatever rules and whatever draconian measures they want upon us. That's what they're aiming for.
That's right, John. And the latest news in Australia, and we're going through what Canada is, because the Prime Minister, little wimpy, weaselly weasel, Anthony Albanese, his Labour Green Communist Party, they're trying to get this thing through called the Voice to Parliament, which is supposed to be about Indigenous Australians, but it's actually they want to change our constitution. And these people are communists, and they want to. This is going to create kind of a government beyond the government we already have. This is a terrible situation in Australia. So apparently, this Voice to Parliament, which is a bit complex, and we've been discussing a lot here, is just not got the backing of the people, and it's going down. It's just not. It's not going to go through. You can't have these people going in and changing our constitution. And then adding all this in, and these people are communists. It's a really dangerous times here, but I think it's going to go down. But Anthony Albanese and his Communist Green Party are throwing a tantrum. And they don't like that so many people have been against this online, and that the online truther movement is just outweighing the MSM now. And it's becoming so much bigger. And so he's throwing a tantrum, and he's doing a Justin Trudeau. And they've created these new Orwellian departments to give all this power to. And here, and I put it up on the website, actually on George Orwell's birthday, the Australian government, the federal government, declared it would trample over our freedom of speech by giving a government agency new powers to combat what it deems as misinformation and disinformation online. So this is a new bill being tabled. There's a petition there to stop it. And it's really probably one of the, I think, the most draconian, hateful, terrible bill that they've ever tabled in this country. And what they're doing is they're threatening Elon Musk, Twitter, all these social media platforms. You would have heard, because it's gone around the world, you know, millions of dollars if they don't take off what they say is hateful content. And Elon Musk sent the government back a poo emoji. So I don't know what he's going to do, but it's absolutely insane. So basically what they're doing is they created this new agency, and they're threatening online, platforms and social media outlets and everywhere for now. And they're basically threatening them to take down content they don't approve of. So we're getting a Chinese communist style government we have in this country, where they're now coming in and saying that everything that you put up online has to be what they approve of, or it's going to be completely rubbed out. And we're going to fine hundreds of millions of dollars to these platforms until they do what they're told. So it's made world news. It's one of the most draconian measures I think we've seen anywhere in the world. And it's just sprung up lately. So this is a government who are absolutely desperate, and they're losing control. Yeah. And because he doesn't like, and they don't like what we're all doing online, and the amount of information that's being pumped out to the people, they're coming up with this new bill, like Justin Trudeau did, and they're trying to ram it through, which is terrible. But it's fear and it's threats, and they're desperate, and they're running out of options. They're running out of places to go. Nobody's buying their bullshit anymore. And I said this, and you said this, we had discussions about it, that the system will lash out at us. As it tries to maintain control and order. And you said many times on this podcast, it's going to fail. And I think that as it fails, they're going to try and pump themselves up, and it's going to get ugly, and people are going to get worried and scared, but it's just a sign that we're winning. And we've always said this with you on the podcast, that they are failing. they will not get away with this, what they're doing, and I think we're in for a big storm, John. I think we're in for a big storm. Yeah. I knew this was coming. I knew that they were going to try and criminalize free speech, and that's exactly what they're doing. The thing is they're just not hiding it now. You know, it's always been there, and now, you know, the people have gone along and they've just and they didn't see it, and now this system is really biting them in the neck. It's lashing out at them, and now they're like, holy shit, you know, like, what's going on here? Yeah. So I think that was always going to happen. It had to happen, and we had to bring this beast out in order to face it and put this thing to bed, John. And I think there's going to be enough of us at the end of the day, because this is getting really ugly, to basically tell you what you can put online, what you can put on your website, what you can say, what you can write, what kind of books you can publish, what you can have in those books. I mean, where are we?
I mean, we're already way down that road. I mean, you know, they've not finished with that particular agenda yet. But yeah, I mean, free speech is just dead. It's just gone. You know, I mean, so many people are getting, you know, people who do, you know, write things that I write, having the books banned from Amazon because it goes against the agenda. Not because there's anything inherently wrong with telling the truth, but, you know, truth has become, you know, they say that truth is the first casualty of war. And that certainly seems to be the case, you know, with all the censorship that's going on. You know, I live in not daily fear, but I mean, it just crosses my mind from time to time what the hell would happen if Amazon decided to, you know, not stock my books anymore, you know, ban my books. I'd be in deep, serious, you know, financial trouble because this is my income. You know, I don't like using Amazon, but, you know, it's got 95% of the market, basically. So, you know, there's no option in that sense. But, yeah, they've got the power of life and death over us, as they always do seem to have. But, yeah, you know, I absolutely agree with everything you said just then. It's, you know, the way things are going, it's just it's becoming intolerable in so many ways, you know.
Yeah, that's right, John. I put that one interview up from Zero Time or Z Media on the Kras Files, if people want to watch that. It's the new censorship bill, most dangerous legislation in Australia, with Tony Nikolic. I think he's from Sydney Criminal Lawyers. So he's a lawyer and he does break it down. And this is the new censorship legislation, John, the Communications Legislation Amendment Combating Misinformation and Disinformation Bill 2023.
Yeah.
So this is what they're doing. And this is not directed at the mainstream media, because if you want to combat misinformation and disinformation and hate speech, why don't they target the mainstream media? Don't worry about us. We're telling the truth. But they're not worried about them. They're targeting us. And they don't like the type of information that's going out so fast now. And what everybody's putting out, everything they do is being exposed so quickly, and they can't stand it. So they're lashing out, and they're going to do this, and they're just shooting themselves in the feet, because Australian people won't put up with this, and it's already taking off. I know Trudeau got some dreadful laws through like this, but he's the same. He's like some of these Australian guys and the New Zealand ex-Prime Minister Ardern. They have their own corporate media that follow them around the country, and they just set it all up. And if someone comes over and asks a question they don't like, they just pack it all up and leave, you know. So Trudeau doesn't like being asked anything outside of the box. Everything's got to be scripted and ready for him in his little perfect box and his little TV set. And then that goes out to the public. It's utter brainwashing, you know. And so now with these kinds of bills, they can just be like communist China and take us all offline, John, and try and rub us out, but we won't stop. We'll just continue, even if we have to send out messages in the bottle or messenger pigeons. We'll just keep going, I guess, but that's where they're going. And we've been talking about this for ages. I knew it was coming. At one stage, they're going to want to rub us out offline and just have whoever agrees with them, that's who's allowed to comment and be online. And all of us just don't get a say. But I can't see that working, John. I just think it's going to backfire big time on the whole system. And I think they're really exposing who they are now, and it's just going to bring more people on our side. So we're in for very interesting times, buddy.
Well, absolutely. I was just going to say those exact same words. You know, times, you know, the next few years are going to be very, very interesting indeed. But, you know, I've always had an optimistic view on these things, and I really do believe that we will beat them. I think they're running scared now. They're getting desperate. The agenda's moving forward too quickly. You know, I was saying previously that, you know, they do things in baby steps. Well, normally they do, but things are really hotting up. They seem to be getting panicky. They're trying to move things along too quickly, and that's having the effect of people noticing it and therefore waking up to what the real agenda is. So, you know, in a sense, the system's eating itself, which can only be a good thing. You know, I think there's a long, long, hard road to go yet. You know, it's not going to happen next week or next year, but eventually, hopefully in my lifetime, you know, we will see some serious changes and, you know, defeat these entities, whatever the hell they are. They're certainly not human, most of them, I don't believe. You know, they're just, or if they are, they're a very strange breed of human. You know, so I think, you know, in summary, they, you know, they are overreaching themselves now, and it's showing.
It's an energy shift, John. I think we're being fed on at an energetic level.
Yes.
I think this is a parasitic type thing we're dealing with here. It's an energy thing, and I think it's interdimensional in its essence. And I think we're being eaten, and I think and we're being kept bogged down in this kind of quicksand of fear. And I think as more and more people wake up and get on board here, it's going to change that energy paradigm around. You know, it's going to change it, and these things, what, as you said, whatever the hell this is we're dealing with, it's going to start to starve and thrash out and lash out and become desperate. And we've done many podcasts where we're looking at the system around us and it seems to be malfunctioning. Things seem to be going wrong or weird. We always said it's like we're in the Truman Show. But, you know, you look around now at what they're doing and how outlandish it is and how far they're taking it and how they're exposing themselves. It's like in a card game, John, where you're giving up all your cards, you know. They're giving up all their cards now by showing the grotesque nature of what they really are. And now we're going, look at this. And everybody's seeing it. And the only thing that it can do is become more uglier as it tries to protect itself. But really, at the end of the day, it's just eating its own tail as it goes round and around and around. And, you know, there's going to be nowhere for this system to go. It's out of options. No one's buying it anymore. The mainstream media, the whole thing, it has nowhere else to go. Its lies are old and outdated, and people can see through it now. They're starting to see through it, and they want more. And that's changing the vibration, the vibrational frequencies, the way people operate. And that change, I think, is when we're going to see, you know, this system get really ugly. So I think people don't need to be scared or worried, but we're going to go through a storm here, because I think this is where humanity has to face up to this, you know. And as I said before, this whole drag stuff and these drag queens, to me, that represents kind of like these things have come out of the gates of hell. These you can see them, John, in the US. These men, they're dressed up as women. They're so wicked, and they're in Australia, because they want to go in and read to children in the libraries, but all you got to do is go on Instagram and follow their social media pages, and you can see who they really are. They got all this dark bondage gear on, and balls in their mouths, and people acting like dogs. They're filthy, and they're crawling on their knees in front of children. And this is a reflection of what's coming. And I think these two are completely connected, because you can't have transhumanism until human morals and goodness and love and everything is erased from the table. And this is why they're getting our kids. They want to break them down, chop them to bits, chop out their sexuality and their genitals, get them on all these drugs, you know, completely destroy their lives so they don't have any hope anymore. Most of them are committing suicide. Most of these kids that they're doing the transgender surgeries on, they're autistic because they've been damaged from ultrasound and vaccines. And they're preying on these confused teenagers and getting them on these drugs and getting them to do all these surgeries is really terrible. And I think this is creating a dark state of affairs, but that's transhumanism. Humans are too complex and emotional. We have too much love in our hearts, you know, and I think that that will never be taken away from us. We have a souls, we have spirits, we have consciousness, and they're trying to do away with all that or disconnect us from that so they can bring in this transhumanism estate. And I think that, as we said to you many times, I think we're reaching that point now in humanity where we get spooked. And as you said, we return and we go back, because if we cross over here and we do this, we're gone. We're just finished if they bring in this transhuman agenda. So I think that's such an important part of your books, and I know it's going to be intertwined in your next books. You need to get this information out. What's your thoughts on what are you looking at, John, for your next books, with what I've said there as we wrap up the show, with the transhumanism agenda and the AI technology? And as you said, they're cooking us like a frog, aren't they? And absolutely. We won't even know that we're in it. But I think most people are starting to get a feeling here we're not in the right place. We need to go back.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just going to, you know, I'm kind of planning it out in my head. I haven't actually begun work on it yet because of what's been happening in my own life for the last 6 months. But, you know, I'm getting back on track now. But the book itself, it's just going to, I mean, it's not got a title yet, but I'm going to call it something like the end game or something like that, because that is their end game. Transhumanism is their end game. They see that as their ultimate goal. Once they've achieved that, all the rest of the shit that's going on, you know, such as the transgender agenda and all that, that's just irrelevant at the moment. That is just you know, part of their overall ambition to desecrate everything that is good. But really, once they achieve the transhuman agenda, not that they will, but they believe that they will. But if they do, then, you know, everything else becomes irrelevant. They don't need any of all that peripheral shit anymore, because, you know, the transhumanism aspect is just a total game changer for them. Because at the end of the day, you know, people have to realize that these people are terrified of us. Of us, and only a few thousand of them at the very most. So they need to be able to control us, because, you know, that in order to maintain their positions of power, they need to control us. And this is what they've tried to do using various methodologies, you know, throughout the centuries. And transhumanism is a real game changer. Once they do that, they've got ultimate control over our movements, our thoughts, and they don't need to do any of the other stuff anymore. You know, we'll just be basically robotic slaves, you know, and that's, you know, we'll be human 2.0. You know, people may have heard that phrase bandied about quite a bit. Well, that's what the ultimate aim is. So my book is going to concentrate on all the different elements of that and all the different aspects and, you know, what's led up to it, and just basically lay out the whole strategy in one easy lesson, if you like. Not that it'd be that easy a lesson, but so I mean, that's the plan. And hopefully this autumn I'm going to start on that, which is going to be a lot. It's going to be approximately 12 months later than I hoped it would be, basically. But, you know, unfortunately, life gets in the way sometimes, doesn't it? And here we are.
Yes, John Hamer does have a life. It's not about just writing books in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
We have lives, and you've got to enjoy your life. You've got to live your life, you know. Exactly. We're here to live our lives. Yeah, we're here to live our lives and enjoy and learn and absorb, John. It's just we've found ourselves in this battle. And I think it's a special thing as well. And I know you feel that. We're here for a reason. I'm here talking to you for a reason. We've chosen to come here. And this is part of who we are. And it's just part of what we need to do. We need to do many things. being here. There's lots of important things that we need to do every single day. And yeah. This is just one of them. And but John's got a whole nother life and things that he does, but he's also, you know, here to do those books and get that out to people. This is such important, incredible knowledge. And I think on the next podcast, if you can come on, John, in the next month, we'll continue a little bit and have a look at the technology side of things and COVID and what they're doing and transhumanism, and not in a negative way, just to get information out to people, because I think they're seeing it as well. And I think it's in a very important part of what we're seeing. And as humans, we can't just put our heads in the sand and ignore it because it's negative. We need to face this, and we need to recognize it and understand it and work out ways that we can get around this, navigate this, and be better and fix it. Because, you know, it's all about fear, and fear controls. And we can't just ignore it and think it'll go away. It's not going to go away. And so we have to find a solution here. It's up to us to do this. And so the technology side of things is very interesting. But I'll put up all John's information, as I always do, with the podcast description tonight. And don't forget, for the listeners out there, when you hear this, John does send out signed copies of his books, and his email will be there. So you just need to email John, say, I listen to the podcast, can you send me out a book and sign me a copy? And he will do that for you, which is wonderful. And it's a great option. And go and have a look at all of John's books as well. We talked about the Titanic book, and we talked about JFK, and we talked about so many of these great books that John has been writing over the years. And so I'll put all that information up so the folks can go out there and buy a copy of John's books. And I would say, you know, like we were talking to Janice Barcelo, a lady here in Australia, bought a whole bunch of her books to sell at the markets. So if you would like to buy like a bunch of John's books, if you run a market or something like that, you could maybe get a good price for the bulk, and then you can sell those books at the market and make a little bit for yourself, because a lot of people are buying books at the markets and they want these kinds of information, you know, like all sorts of markets that we have now popping up all around the country. So if you're interested in that, please email John, and I'll put that email in there for you. If you would like to buy in bulk, for example, it's a really good option. Or if you want to sell them yourself, whatever it is, he will accommodate that and let you know. And so all the information will be up, and all John's channels, website, falsification of history, all of that, that people need to get in contact and have a look. So anything you want to finish on tonight, John?
No, just the usual thing, Adam. You know, I just don't want people to worry. You know, it seems like the world's turning to shit, but, you know, there's probably going to be some hard times that we're all going to go through. You know, maybe another pandemic, maybe something else unexpected going to hit us between the eyes at some point. But these people aren't finished with us yet. But at the end of the day, I always believe that good will triumph over evil. So I don't worry about it too much. I would just urge people to do the same and just get on with their lives and not spend their lives in fear, because this is what they want. You know, just make the most of the freedom as it is that we have at the moment, and don't worry too much about the future, because, you know, good will sort itself out in the end.
That's right. It always does.
Yeah.
Always does, John. And love always wins. It has to. There's no way that you can beat it. There's no way around it. So get on that love train. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And do things that you love every day. And live your life and try to be happy, do everything that you can, but just keep an eye on all of this and get involved in any way that you can. Everyone's doing something, and there's a way to get involved here and get information out to the public so we can get knowledge out there. There's a lot of people who are hungry for information now, because they feel really used after what happened. Especially here, you know, people lost jobs and they were locked down, and they believed in what they were being told, and they played ball, and they did what they thought was right, and they really got a kick in the ass for it, and they're upset, and they're agitated, and they're angry, and they're bitter now about this system and getting those jabs and all sorts of things, and they're just they're this system doesn't have any answers for them anymore. And people are really waking up and they're coming on board here. And we are on a really good steam train now, and it's building, and it's great to be here. It's great to be here, but challenging times, but stay positive. And great chatting with you on the podcast tonight, John. Stay there. So I just saved my podcast file. We are plugging out tonight, John Hamer. Great to have you on the podcast. As always, we'll chat with you again in a month, and we will break down all the latest. And I say hi and thanks to all the listeners out there. Thanks so much for your support and plugging in and listening to this podcast and supporting us and John's work. And please take care. We are plugging out.
Yeah. Thanks, Adam. All the best, mate.